Jones, Clement Freud, and William Franklin in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you just heard from our announcer, we have a guest with us this week playing with three of our regular panelists, and that is Bill, or William Franklin, I should say, Bill to his friends. So please do please welcome him. He has played it once or twice before, but any guest does need all the encouragement they can get from our audience in the studio. Once again, I'm going to ask our panelists if they can talk on the subject that I give them without hesitation, repetition, or deviation for just 1 minute. And we're going to begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams, and who better to begin any show, and the subject, Arabian Nights. That is the subject, Kenneth. Can you tell us something about it in the game, starting now?
From the Arabian Nights, it's mistakenly thought by many to be derived from the Sufi manuscripts and therefore Persian, but Margaret Drabble, in the latest Oxford Literary Companion, assures us that in fact they come to the Western world via Egypt. This fascinated me because I had an Arabian night myself in the Rif Mountains, dressed in the authentic jalaba, and my host, a sheikh, no less, provided an Arab mare, which kicked while carrying me. I fell on my coccyx, and there was wailing and lamentations, but this grand man said, "Walk naturally," and I tried to do it, but didn't quite pull it off, and my gait has been referred to ever since as somewhat affected.
Not for the first time in just a minute, Kenneth Williams has started the show, taken the subject with style and panache, and kept going for 1 minute without repeating himself, hesitating, or deviating. And so he gains a point for speaking as the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted. Well done, Kenneth. Let us continue, and of course, at the end of that round, you are in a commanding lead. That went round like a load of bricks, didn't it? So we'll get on with the next round. Peter Jones, the subject is you. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I'll talk about you, Nicholas. I know you are a man who can walk into a pub and say, "Landlord, I'd like to buy everybody drinks. And if your lady wife will join us, I shall be particularly pleased." And there you are apt to stay for some hours, if necessary, always purchasing these alcoholic refreshments for whoever or whomsoever may come into this place of entertainment. You may give them a song at the piano without very much encouragement, if you like, but very often when strangers come in and recognize you, you are particularly polite and disarming and generous. Signing autograph books.
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
No, I was enjoying what he said, actually. Not strictly true. No, I don't think he quite hesitated. Teetering on hesitation, but not quite. So, Peter, an incorrect challenge. You get a point for that, and you continue for 15 seconds, starting now.
Taking addresses and sending photographs to people all over the world.
Clement Freud's challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, you did mention people before.
Oh, really?
Yes. I can't be with you on this one, Peter.
A pity I was interrupted, really.
Yes. But you did get a point for the interruption.
No, I did,
carried
yes.
On.
Yes.
And, some
yes.
People put a great deal of store on the points they gain, others, of course, on the contribution they make.
Very good.
Clement Freud, you have a point for a correct challenge. You take the subject of you, and 10 seconds are left, starting now.
During a by-election at Brecon and Radden, I spent a very great deal of time propositioning yous, trying to get their vote. Good afternoon, I would say to these...
When the ambassador blows his whistle, it tells us the 60 seconds is up, and as I mentioned before, whoever speaking at that moment gains the extra point. It was Clement Freud, who's now alongside Kenneth Williams in the lead, and he also begins the next round. The subject, Clement, is laughter. Will you tell us something about that delightful subject that we work so hard to produce in this game, starting now?
Laughter is a not unnatural reaction to a joke. For instance, if someone were to tell you that they were arraigned in court for sticking Green Shield stamps on their national insurance card, and the magistrate gave 3 months prison sentence or an electric toaster, there is every opportunity of a visible response to a story of that ilk. In this country, when you tell humorous anecdotes, you have every chance of achieving laughter, whereas in the United States of America, you actually have to pinpoint humor. You have to say, this is going to be funny. And astonishingly, unless you commence with that preamble, nobody will react as you would wish them to. In Albania, no one laughs at all. It is actually considered a crime, if not a sin, to make statements which are anything...
So far a classic version of Just a Minute with, within a short space of time, two people taking the subject to the start and not hesitating, repeating or deviating and keeping going till the whistle went. Well done, Clement, and raising laughter while talking about laughter. And you gain 2 points, of course, one for the whistle and one bonus point, and you're in the lead at the end of the round. And now we hear from our guest, William Franklin. William, the subject that Ian Messiter's thought of is stomach butterflies. And so those are the ones that flutter about in the stomach on occasions, no doubt, but will you tell us something about them starting now?
Particularly in my own profession, the stomach butterfly is very prevalent. I like to think that butterflies actually suffer from stomach actors. There are people who talk about a condor in search of an actor. The stage performer learning his words, deeply enmeshed in his text, as I am nightly at this very moment, doesn't think what lies ahead as those vast and small and all-sized vultures prepare to descend upon your intestines on the night that you are about to perform this text that you hope you will not be ill-prepared.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of text.
Well, I mean, good gracious, Peter, you have a guest beside you. I mean, where are the manners? Have you no manners?
Well, I think he'd been interrupted after a few seconds. Yes, that would, I'd agreed with you. But he had gone, actually, for 34 seconds, which is not bad.
I was so glad to hear my friend Peter pressing his tip.
I had, actually...
You did, that drew him up.
I hadn't expected to reveal this, but Bill, just a moment or two ago, said, I do hope you'll interrupt me. And I was just waiting, anxious to make this guest feel at home. So, Kenneth, you've embarrassed me terribly. And so have you. You've embarrassed William, probably.
Well, what about me? I'm full of chagrin.
Well,
you can see. You can see my chagrin. It is showing, actually.
So we're all embarrassed, but.
Yes, it's.
I'm terribly sorry to have brought you.
Do you think we ought to start again?
No, I definitely don't. I think it was a legitimate challenge. You have a point for being correct, and you take over the subject of stomach butterflies, and there are 26 seconds left, starting now.
Well, I'm nervous. I don't think of these things in my stomach as butterflies. They're more like Mills bombs or mortar fire. Butterflies are a much too light and airy sort of thing to describe what I feel and suffer, because it's violent and strong, and it does create a tremendous effect, like a lead ball in a sort of balloon or something of that kind. And
so Peter Jones kept going till the whistle went. I think only just, actually, looking at his face, which you, of course, at home with your turret radio sets couldn't see.
You didn't have to say that.
No, I thought that was very cruel.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. It was filled me with chagrin.
Yeah. I mean, people all over the world might have enjoyed that and never known that I was on the brink of drying up, if you hadn't told them.
I was actually wanting them to know you don't normally speak like that, struggling for words. You're much more fluent. But anyway, let's forget it. You gain points in that round, Peter, which is the important thing. And you are in second place, one behind Clement Freud, one ahead of Kenneth Williams, and a few ahead of William Franklin, who's yet to score. Peter Jones, your turn again. Wet picnics. Will you tell us something about those? And for those who listen to us in foreign countries, this summer has been one of the wettest on record, and a lot of people have experienced wet picnics. Peter, will you talk on the subject starting now?
Well, you've already told the people all over the world about the summer in England, which is a pity, really, because it would have been a good springboard for my little chat, which I hope will go on for 60 seconds. Now, if you are going to have a picnic in this country, it would be wise to prepare for a wet one. So get your wellies out and your sou'westers and raincoats and umbrellas, and try and get some sandwiches in plastic covers so that they won't get soggy. This is the best I can advise. I don't know whether you ever like barbecues, but if you do, then it's probably wise to cook the food in the house and take it outside, where under awnings you might be able to consume it in a reasonable degree of dryness and perhaps warmth. An electric fire wouldn't be a bad idea, really. And if you cover yourself with that sort of cap, the people...
Here's Williams'
challenge. An electric fire in wet weather would be a very bad idea. You'd all be getting shot. Very bad. Bad advice to give the general public.
I mean, well, yes, bad advice, but it was also deviating having an electric
fire. Deviate, that's what I meant, Mr. Chairman. You're a very good chairman.
No, you didn't.
You always bring him back to the point, you see. He always brings you back to a salient point. That's why it's a very good chairman.
But I said you were under an awning.
But electric lights can now be run by solar energy, and you could have a small solar energy kit operating this electric fire, which would...
I'm depending. Nobody asked you to put your oar in.
It's the chairman this evening at an abattoir party, but I came along here thinking I would meet some very nice, pleasant friends.
Yes. Well, we all labour under these illusions, don't we? Little rain that falls, you would obviously drench.
Kenneth, we're going to hear from you about wet picnics, because I agree with the challenge, and there are 9 seconds left, starting now.
I had to go on them with the Boy Scouts, and we drank cocoa. It was simply frightful, and the bee...
I interrupt you, because the fifth word was totally incomprehensible.
There's nothing in this game about comprehension.
Oh, you mean it doesn't matter if...
No, it says deviate, hesitate...
I know you can speak Serbo-Croatian.
I know this is going out to the whole world, but I mean, generally speaking, are we using the Anglo-Saxon? Is that...
Yes, we do, and a lot of people tune in just to be able to improve their English listening. Two people like me. Sure. But
I won't have much luck with him, will they?
I think over the airwaves.
No, you didn't hear that. Mind you, I should think people practicing his dialect in an igloo. Can you imagine that echoing around?
Yes. Of course, it only goes out to the Commonwealth, which is probably one of the reasons why we've lost it.
Well, I must say, just a minute may have lost the Commonwealth, but it's gained the rest of the world, that's all I can say. Yes.
I went to Yugoslavia last summer, nobody knew who I was.
Well, I can tell you, you're getting a very big following in Red China.
Oh, well, that's nice.
And I would like to say, after the last time you went, for all those people who were put off by what I said about you last time, you look absolutely animated and marvellous and scintillating as he was talking then.
Thanks very much.
Listen to the damn thing, whichever way.
Really quite keen on you.
There we are. Kenneth, you have the correct challenge, and, sorry, I disagree, it's the other way around. It's such a long time ago. Bill, I disagree with your challenge, so you have half a second of wet picnic starting now.
Get close to the fire!
After that round, Kenneth Williams, having gained a number of points during the round, has taken a positive lead above Clement Freud, then Peter Jones, and then William Franklin, and William Franklin takes the next round. Bill, the subject is cellars. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
As you probably know, it can be spelt in a number of ways. You can end with an A-R-S, an E-R-S. You can begin with a C, you can begin with an S. Just to elaborate a bit more on that.
The five repetitions to date, the R, the S, the begin, and the
end. There are, if I may say so, just purely as a new boy, a novitiate who doesn't really know much about it, these are all part of the actual words, and I understand...
I know, because you repeat them, you see, and that is one of the things you mustn't do in just a minute.
Dictum which I received, I received a very detailed report here, which I'm going to read to you. It'll take about 25 minutes, probably, which should see us through. I thought you were allowed to imitate
You're allowed to use the actual words themselves.
No, you can use the word, which is this word, sellers. You can repeat that as a number of times, not too many times.
But you can't break the word down into its...
No, you repeated the word SR, you repeated the word begin.
No, I think the umpire's decision is final. You are becoming the Botham of this outfit.
When I arrived, you... Very definitely my friend.
I've gone off.
It's all right being the Botham of the outfit. It's once you become the John McEnroe that we begin to worry. Clement Freud, I agree with your challenge. The subject is sellers, and there are 50 seconds starting now.
In the Victorian era, sellers used to be used for storing ice. It was a fascinating thing because there was no other way of manufacturing frozen water other than to wait until the lake froze up. And then you scooped off.
William Franklin challenged.
Till the lake what up?
Frizz up.
Was that...
I'd said frozen before.
Yes, so you invented a word.
No.
Is that not a deviation?
I know.
Is that a deviation from the English language?
I think
many,
it's East Anglian dialect.
I know all those people in China who are listening to us at the moment would be puzzled by the word frizz. We don't want them coming over here and saying, all right, go frizz. Because it isn't a colloquial word when you cannot repeat the word frozen before. So I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Clement, leave it with you. 35 seconds, sellers, starting now.
It's so corrupt, this
program.
I've never been with so much corruption. Go.
He was talking about corruption, Clement, but you still have 31 seconds on sellers, starting now.
So you would go into the basements of these grand mansions built in the era of the Queen, who reigned from 1832 to 1901. Actually, 37, I'm sorry. And there would be lumps of...
Well, I'm his friend. I've taken his side more than lumps I really have. But I felt he'd jot it all.
He did come to a hall, yes.
I have a soft spot for him, you know that.
I know, but we tried to be quiet about it in just a minute.
I know my own. I would dare them, I mean, to the housetop.
Yes.
You know, I think it's all about vulnerability in life. You put a hand out, it might be spat on, but on the other hand, somebody may grasp it in friendship and what brings
Kenneth, what are you talking about? I think you should take the subject because you had a correct challenge, and there are 16 seconds on sellers starting now.
I had a cellar in the house we occupied in Marchmont Street where I used to go for my mother. Poor old thing couldn't get the coal in herself, and I would skip all the...
Again speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point as well as others in the round, and he's still in the lead ahead of Clement Freud and Peter Jones and William Franklin in that order. And Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject is a wicked thing I did. That is the subject. Will you talk about it in this game starting now?
I will admit to it, a wicked thing I did on this show, in fact, and that is why it is most apposite that I discuss it now, was a rudeness to no other or ghastly personage than, yes, you have guessed it, the chairman Nicholas Parsons. I had been erring on, and he reproved me. Kenneth, I couldn't talk like that, he said. And I replied, no, you haven't got my vocabulary. And that was an enormous laugh. I've become the one year ago. But the fact is, it was a wicked thing to do, because we must observe authority. If the light goes green, you can cross, but not if it's red, because that is the law. That is the ritual.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of that.
Yes, there were about three or four.
Oh, come on, it's that. So you've done loads of them. Loads of them, hasn't he?
No, actually, he's not that. You did loads in that time.
Well, I just don't think it's good enough.
Well, you did make a great stress on the word that is and that again, so it was a very definite repetition. So I give it to Peter with 8 seconds on a wicked thing I did, Peter, starting now.
Well, I do realize now, Kenneth has pointed it out, that that was a wicked thing to do, to challenge him on a simple word which is normal.
Oh,
So Peter Jones is now equal with Clement Freud in the lead and both trailing Kenneth Williams, and Peter begins the next round. Peter, the subject, doing my own thing. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, it's something I would naturally enjoy. I don't feel somehow instinctively that this program is quite the place to do it. Perhaps Thought for the Day would be a suitable slot for me to try and advise other people on the way to live and make their lives smoother and more serene, solving many of their problems, perhaps, by the simple faith that I have carried throughout my life and my career, to which I attribute some of the little modest success that I've enjoyed in this program and other programs. But if...
Kenneth Williams.
Well, I was quite incorrect. It's a program.
I know.
I was a fool.
No. Oh, right.
So you came in anticipated, because he did say program and programs, and it was an incorrect challenge. And you continue, Peter, with 24 seconds left, doing my own thing, starting now.
Perhaps I could do my own thing in a chat show and invite Kenneth Williams and William Franklin, Clement Freud, and a few other people, including perhaps Derek Nimmo, to chat.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of perhaps. It was the third, perhaps. I was pretty good for the first two.
You mean you missed the first one?
No, it was, yes. Why didn't you invite me on your chat show?
I don't want to. embarrass you.
Invited all the rest of the team, but it left me out. Oh, I've done something.
I guess I lose that, do I?
Yeah. You didn't play your cards right there, Peter. Right, Clement, you have a correct challenge. Doing my own thing, and there are 13 seconds left, starting now.
Doing my own thing in London is pretty difficult because I play pétanque, or boule, and it's awfully hard to get a terrain, or ground, on which you can practice that franc de
fire. Peter Jones, challenge with half a second to go. Peter.
Repetition.
What of?
Well, you heard it as well as I did.
I wish to know if you know what he repeated.
Practice.
Yes,
we're doing practice.
You're doing a Clement Freud on us.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, nothing wrong with it, but he didn't repeat the word practice.
Didn't he? Oh, I thought he did. Must be an echo in this room, you know.
Doing my own thing. Now, yeah. I'm here on my own. There's nothing very much going on this side of the room, so I thought I'd do something all on my own thing, because these three have got a club of their own, for which I am, at the moment, totally excluded.
No.
And it doesn't matter what you repeat or what you say, how many words you twist or anything. You can just go on indefinitely, and nobody gives a damn. So as long as you've got the bottle to keep doing it. Hello, Peter. Sorry.
Hello. That's all right. No, the chap in the white coat, we were just asking him to go away. Quite all right. It's all right. You can leave him alone. No, we're going to keep him to the rest of the show. No, don't worry about him. It's all right. Just calm him down. Give him some water or something.
How many more seconds have I got to speak on this subject?
You haven't got the subject. Clement Freud has got it. Clement, you have 1 second. I'm doing my own thing starting now.
Harm's eyesight.
Has now taken the lead, one ahead of Kenneth Williams, and he also begins the next round. Clement, the subject is going about. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Going about is a nautical or naval expression, meaning that the ship, boat, sail, vessel, or whatever you have, is about to do a 180-degree turn. It's pleasant sort of thing.
William Franklin has challenged.
I thought there was a hesitation.
It's definite hesitation, Bill. I'm delighted to hear from you because...
Hello. Where have you been?
I've been over here just doing my own thing.
Yes.
But that was some time ago, yeah. Of course.
So, Bill, you now have the subject of going about, and it's the last subject, so keep going if you can, and you start now. Oh, let me tell you before you start. There are 45 seconds left. Starting now.
In Calabria, which is in southern Italy, it's a very pleasant picture on an autumnal evening to see the families going about together. The girls of the age of about 14 to 17 holding their hands. The boys, who are aged between 17 and 22, walking on the other side of the road, all with their heads looking over, glancing at the pretty pictures of these young maidens. The mamas walking a little bit behind the daughters. The papas walking behind the sons, keeping everybody in order.
It is
a picture of such past...
Repetition.
Of what?
Age, mamas, papas, walking behind in from.
Yes,
Rule.
Yes, you're quite right.
Always rule.
I just had to know whether you had observed it or whether you were trying it on. Clement, you have a correct challenge going about as a subject, and there are 18 seconds left starting now.
Being hit on the head with a boom is probably the most painful aspect of going about when you are sailing the oceans or seas of this world, in the Mediterranean in 1949, and then again 14 years later. I was struck very hard indeed.
And so Clement Freud spoke as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and with that final flourish brought the show to an end. So let me give you the final score. William Franklin, our guest, who has not played the game very often before, finished up in fourth place. He did gain some points, I won't tell you how many. And Peter Jones was in third place, only 1 point behind Kenneth Williams, who was 2 points behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. Enjoy this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again the same time next week when we take the air and we play this delightful and sometimes ridiculous but always enjoyable game. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkins.